Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's Jeff Orlowski and the franchise, Tim Allen.
It is a final from Miller Park, and the results are good again as the Brewers beat the Diamondbacks in Game 2 of this three-game weekend set, 4-0 the final. And welcome, everybody. It's once again the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Tim Allen, Jeff Orlowski, and Dan Plucker in as well. And certainly you got to be pleased about a three-game now winning streak as the Brewers prevail. And pitching, the name of the story here, as they get it done again. Jordan Lyles yesterday, we all know what happened with Lyles yesterday, but then it's backed up by Chase Anderson today. And if you go back 1 week, go back to both their last starts, that's when this thing got off the rails a little bit. Jordan Lyles, a blow-up start, followed up by Chase Anderson's 10-run, 9-hit performance. He blows up the next day. What a difference a start makes, because both of these guys bounce right back in their following starts. That's Lyles yesterday and Chase Anderson tonight, as Chase goes 5 innings of shutout baseball and just 3 hits. He did walk a couple of men, struck out 5 in the performance, and you got to love the Brewers pitching right now. All of this being done, these last couple of games at least, without the aid of left-hander Josh Hader. But a nice win for the crew as they take game 2, they take the series. And as we discussed just a little bit, I know it sounds crazy when I said that, and I was getting some heat from a couple of buddies when you said winning series doesn't matter. That was taken out of context. Hello. It really, the point was you break it down to tonight's game. Okay, tonight's game is cleared. That's a win, 4-0. Brewers get it. And then you move on to tomorrow and just make it a one-game series. And just one at a time. Now 33 to play here in the 2019 championship season. And the Brewers find themselves 3.5 back in the Central. More on that in just a little while. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell tonight. And again, it's just a combination of a little pressure offensively. You finally break through, and then you tack on. But the pitching, you can't fault the pitching. Starters for sure. Bullpen both yesterday and today stepping up. And Craig Counsell making the right moves today. And speaking of which, if you're just tuning in, you were on another planet. The Brewers did make a couple of roster moves prior to the game today. Ben Gamel, the outfielder, was sent down. And admittedly by David Stearns, as well as Craig Counsell, it's going to be a 10-day thing. Nothing more than that. If they bring up Ben Gamel prior to 20 games from right now, 20 days from right now, you don't have to use this option. So you would have another option year on Ben Gamel. So they're playing that right. Ben Gamel has been losing playing time to Trent Grisham. Ben Gamel needs some reps down at AAA to get back on track for a stretch drive. He was good for a good chunk of the year here, just dipping as of late. So they send him down. They call up Corey Spangenberg. And I'm not sure I understand that one, but okay, it's Corey Spangenberg, and you get Tyler Saladino, maybe. I'm not sure. We'll see how it shakes out. Versatile guy, left-handed bat, infielder, can play some outfield. And then the big news of Yolish Chacin designated for assignment today. I guess the dialogue was happening since Wednesday with Yolish Chacin and his agent. I don't like the move. I think the Brewers could have and should have given him one more chance here, either in the rotation, giving him a spot start, or out of that bullpen. We'll hear from David Stearns on the Yolish Chacin. And is he the latest to fall on the opening day jinx? I've got that history coming up as well. Let's go through our game recap in this Brewers 4-0 victory. First inning, Chase Anderson. He puts up a 0. He does allow a hit and a walk, and you're a little nervous at that point in the first inning tonight, guys. that the Brewers might be playing from behind. Didn't happen. Brewers something going in the bottom of the first. Leadoff base hit by Lorenzo Cain, followed up by a Grandal walk, but a flyout by Yelich. Ground out by Moose, strikeout by Castanheira ends that threat into the second inning. Stays no score through two and into the third inning. Each team with a chance, a base-running blunder by Cain in the bottom half. Prevented a run there on a double by Yelich. No score into the fourth inning. Chase, scoreless in the fourth. Brewers on the board, bottom half. Leading off, looking for homer number 19 is Eric Thames, and he got it.
And sends one to right, deep to the wall as Jones leaps and gone for Eric Thames. E.T. phone home again tonight. And Milwaukee out in front, 1-0.
Boy, number 19 for Eric. Boy, just incredible power for Eric Thames. Knocks one into the Arizona bullpen. And gives the Brewers a 1-0 lead. Well, they were
back-to-back nights for Eric Thames with a long ball, and the Brewers take that one-zip lead. And they weren't done yet. Next batter, the youngster, Trent Grisham.
And this one to right. Grisham, gone! Back-to-back home runs for Milwaukee. Grisham hits his fourth. That snaps an 0-for-14 string for the rookie. And it's 2-0 Milwaukee.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, they take that 2-zip lead into the fifth inning. Chase needs a shutdown inning right there. When you give him the lead in the bottom of the fourth inning, and he gets it. A shutdown frame in the top half of the fifth. As a leadoff walk and a sacrifice, put a runner at second base with just one out for Chase, but he wiggled out of that trouble, a strikeout. And a flyout ends the threat. Brewers empty in the bottom half. Junior Guerra on as Chase Anderson's night was done at that point. Again, five innings of work for Chase. Shutout baseball on three hits. Couple of walks and five Ks. Junior Guerra, well, he does his job. A scoreless sixth inning. Two zip to the seventh. Matt Albers, he does his job. Now we get to the bottom of the seventh inning. Lorenzo Cain a walk. Hit by pitch by to Yelich. Moustakas eventually draws a walk. And Castanheira, they need a little cushion, need a little insurance, and they get it.
And this one, lined in the left field, base hit. Two runs are going to come home. And the Brewers take a 4-0 lead here in the seventh inning.
Big hit for Castanheira.
And Council moving the chess pieces around the board. Council goes to Alex Claudio for the eighth inning. Gets a couple of outs. Does allow a double in that eighth. And counts back to his pen. Jay Jackson strikes out the next batter to end the frame into the bottom of the eighth inning. Brewers retaining that 4-zip lead. And into the ninth inning, you're wondering if Josh Hader is going to pitch again. It's been a week for Josh Hader. We sat right here talking about Hader and the performance in D.C. against the Nationals. All sorts of trouble a week ago tonight. Does end up giving up a run, loading the bases with nobody out. He strikes out the side, and is Josh Hader back? And did we flip that switch on the Brewers' left-hander? No, it's Jay Jackson back in the game for the ninth inning. The new J.J. gets it done for the crew, a scoreless frame to preserve the shutout, and a Brewers victory. With the win, they move to 67-62 on the campaign. Now 33 games left here in the 2019 championship season. Want to get your reaction. Big crowd at Miller Park tonight, 41,737 to witness this one. And I got to ask, if you want to throw in a discussion about 33 games remaining here in the season. And you're wondering who's going to win the Central here. Guys, seriously, who's going to win the Central? Cards win tonight. Cubs lose today. Brewers win. Here's the crazy thing about this. By the way, the drive of the game with Wrench and Go, I'm going to give that to Castanheira in that seventh inning as he gave the Brewers a little bit of a cushion there to allow some wiggle room and to, well, for all intents and purposes, not go to Josh Hader. At some point, you're going to have to use him, but there's a wrench-and-go drive of the game, despite a couple of solo home runs from Thames and Grisham. Crazy thing about this Central Division right now is the fact that the Brewers just won their third consecutive game. And in that span, they pick up a whopping half game in the standings, chasing the first-place team. Now, that has bounced back and forth a couple of times, and that's what stinks about having a tie at the top of the division or a half-game separation. It's like you can't pick up ground real easy. You just have to wait it out a little bit and make sure one team gets a little separation, which you've got right now. The Cardinals, I think that game is final. If not, it's going to be soon. They're up 6-0 over the Rockies, and the Rockies starting to fall out of this wild card race. But
it's final.
It is final. Okay. Yeah, the Cards win, Cubs lose, Brewers win. Brewers in the three-game winning streak just pick up a half game. But they've got the Cardinals coming into Miller Park on Monday. That is huge. But who is going to win the Central? Cards, Cubs, or Crew? It's up for grabs in my book. It really is. 414-799-1250. As the spark of the game with Current Electric, your electrician superheroes at callcurrent.com. I guess you could say the back-to-back home run sparks some energy in this bottom of the fourth inning, right? I mean, it's nothing. It's a little bit of a pitcher's duel, and you're wondering if the Brewers are going to lose a low-scoring Eaker kind of game. But it doesn't happen. Sparked up a rally, sparked up a win, sparked up the celebration with back-to-back home runs. Eric Thames and Trent Grisham, your sparks of the game with Current Electric. Let's see here. We want to go to Tyler. Is that right, Jeff?
Todd in Watertown.
I'm sorry. Todd, you're on the fan. What's happening?
Howdy, boys. Hey, I haven't called in a while, and I've been thinking about a lot of stuff, but I'm super positive, and I hope you can say book it, but I think we're going to win the Central, and I'm going to tell you why. I think around September 1st, we may see some big changes. I was listening to the Cubs game tonight or this afternoon, and you know, those guys are pretty decent to the Brewers. They're guys, and they were talking about the Brewers and this and that and the other thing. And they said that old Jimmy Nelson, he's up to throwing 94 miles an hour right now, and I did not know that. I don't know if anybody knew that.
His last six appearances, he's given up one earned run. That's spanning 10 1/3 innings pitched.
Yeah, he's doing fantastic. And then you got Chastain getting DFA'd. I think it's going to be I think some big changes around the corner. And I've been thinking it's like, you know, kind of an analogy type of guy. It's kind of like that Rocky movie when, you know, they teach him to hit with the right, and they'll say, now go with the left, you know. And I think that's coming. I think Jamie's coming back. Woody's coming back. Suter's coming back. And I think Hader's hurt. I think that's why, luckily, he's been able to sit for quite a while.
Well, do remember the All-Star, right around the All-Star break, you remember he backed out with the, what was it, a back issue pipe bomb? I think it was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, yep. It was a back deal. Yeah, it was something to that effect, but I really think that if everybody can just kind of hold tight, I think this has been in the back channels, you know, with Stearns, and he knows that this day is coming, and it's coming soon. If everybody can just kind of be patient with it, I think when September 1 comes and when they have the roster moves, I think the team's going to really change in a positive direction. And I really truly believe that we're going to win the Central, Jimmy.
Okay, that's the question. Cards, Crew, or Cubs? Who's winning the Central? Thank you, Todd. 799-1250. You can make an argument for all three of the teams. If you disagree with the Brewers winning it, that's cool. That's fine. I want to hear why, though. Why you think that? The Cubs have the experience. The Cubs are going after, and again, you could make the argument for all of them. The Cubs are going after the fifth consecutive playoff appearance. Now that's really, for a bunch of losers down there in Chicago, it really is impressive. It kind of is. You got to hand it to them. So they've got what they they've set out to accomplish here, and that is playoff consecutive playoff appearances. That includes a World Series title, by the way. But five, that would be five consecutive years if they end up hitting the pay window into the playoffs. The Cardinals, the one that's the one that is just laying in the weeds here. Throughout the season here, don't sleep on the Cardinals. We talked about it on this show quite often. Don't sleep on the Cardinals. They still have this pedigree of winning, do they not? And once you think they're dead and buried and gone, they're just right there. They won't go away. In fact, you could make the argument that the Cardinals have been the most consistent of the three teams in the Central. Cubs and Brewers have been Jekyll and Hyde type. You get on a run, you win five straight, then you fall off and win six or lose six of eight. That's what the Brewers just did. They win five in a row. Everything's good. Then they lose six of eight. And then they bounce back with winning three straight. Look at the Cubs. Absolutely unbeatable at home. They're just amazing at home. On the road, stink. But yet now the tables have turned. They're facing a buzzsaw in the Nationals. I mean, you can make an argument on all three of these teams winning the Central, and I think every single one of them would be a fair argument. 414-799-1250, big crowd at Miller Park for Scooby-Doo night. You were interested in going there for this one, weren't you, Pipe Bomb? This might be one of those days where you're really glad you're going to work here tonight.
Yeah, there were a couple times back in my ute that, I hopped into the mystery machine every now and then. But, Scooby-Doo night. So right in the middle of smack dab, a player's weekend, does it get any weirder than that?
That is a little different. That's a weird cocktail, for sure.
Yeah.
It is. 799-1250. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. When it gets your spin on the division, I want to also delve into this opening day jinx. And the next one fell, and that's Yolish Chacin, designated for assignment. This dude, David Stearns put it absolutely right on the money when he talked before the game today. I'm gonna play that for you coming up in just a little while. When he talked about Yolish Chacin, personally, I think it's a mistake that they're just cutting him. Essentially, just go, just whatever you did last, whatever. We appreciate it, and I know they do, for sure we do. But just go. Really interesting stuff from David Stearns. That's all coming up and more. We'll hear from Craig Counsell. After a Brewers Game 2 victory, the three-game weekend series is already won by the Crew. They're going to go after a sweep, obviously, tomorrow. Every game's big, so needless to say, I shouldn't say a huge game tomorrow. They got a huge win tonight, 4-0 final. We'll be back on The Fan.
Radio.com Sports Station, WSSP Milwaukee, WXSS HD2 Wauwatosa. This is 105.7 FM, The Fan, Milwaukee's number one sports talk station. In every game, there's a moment when you say to yourself, are you kidding me? Here's the Gene Wagner Plumbing, are you kidding me? Moment of the game. Gene Wagner Plumbing. Celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
4-0, some excitement at Miller Park tonight as the Brewers get the Game 2 victory, their third consecutive victory, and just kind of throwing it out there on Twitter, throwing it out there to you guys. There's 33 games left, guys. It's roughly a month plus of baseball, 5 weeks of baseball left. Cards, Crew, or Cubs, one of them is going to walk away with the division, and hopefully it's going to be consecutive division titles for the Brewers. And there are a ton of numbers that could make the argument for any one of these three teams in this Central race. I get it. In fact, there's probably some numbers that would rank the Brewers third in that pecking order. I mean, when you really break down some of the analytics in this thing, who cares? Don't care. It's about winning baseball games. You get performances like this. Again, if you want to get into a holding pattern of starting pitchers, on this team this year, where it's Jordan Lyles, 6 shutout last night. It's Chase Anderson, 5 shutout tonight. And if Zach Davies goes out and throws 5 1/3 of 1 or 2 run ball, I'll take that. You'll take it. Just simply because that's the way the Brewers do it. I don't follow every team. I don't follow every game of every team. I don't know how typically, say, the Diamondbacks here came in 500 to the series, roughly 500, and in the NL wild card race. I don't know how Lavolo handles his pitching staff for the most part. I don't know if he's a quick hook kind of guy. Craig Counsell, I think, is, right? We know that Craig Counsell is he's fine with 5 innings. He's better with 5 2/3, the magical 17-out mark, but he's good with 5 innings. If that's what it takes to get this Brewer team victories, slam dunk it then. We'll take that. And that's what they've been doing for 3 years, essentially. Things got to go just right. I don't know, the stars got to line up, but there's got to be something in the air or the water that allows Craig Counsell to keep his pitcher in there into the seventh inning. And it's very rare that he allows a pitcher to get into the seventh. It's just, it's almost unheard of for Craig Counsell. But nonetheless, if that's what it takes to get it done, so the Brewers shouldn't be blamed by the style of play. They should be given credit for the amount of wins that they have despite what they've gone through. So I think it's a legitimate argument to say, okay, the Cards, I think they're more consistent. They've got maybe a better top half or front part of that rotation with Flaherty and Dakota Hudson doing his thing. They've got Wainwright toward the back end of that rotation. Certainly you make the argument with the Chicago Cubs that at any moment they could get on one of their unconscious sort of streaks. And their left-handers in that rotation, they do the job and they get on par and they neutralize a lot of lefties in the Brewers lineup. Next weekend's going to be huge. So the Cardinals, they have enough offense. Goldschmidt over there, Ozuna, Carpenter has had better years, but Molina, Carpenter as veterans. All of these teams, none of it is going to surprise me if it ends up with a tie between the wouldn't you love a three-way tie?
Chaos, absolutely. I love chaos.
Yes, we would love that. But again, Cards, crew, or Cubs in the Central going at it. Reds take one on the chin tonight. You heard that from the birthday boy, Dan Plucker, over there behind the glass. And they're a hot streak away from being viable, I think. They're fringe. They're definitely fringe in the wild card race for sure. They think that, they know they're going to have to get a winning streak together to do some damage. In terms of the wild card, the easiest path for the crew at 3.5 back in the Central is to win the division. Cubs in a little bit better shape, being 2 games ahead of the Brewers at 1.5 back. Cardinals certainly in a little bit of a driver's seat, not only in the division. I won't say that a game and a half is necessarily a driver's seat, but a little bit of a catbird seat in that the National League wildcard race has got the Phillies and the Mets and the Nationals and whoever doesn't win the Central. That's a wild, wild race. So I think it comes down to the Cards, crew, or Cubs in the Central. Who's going to hit that pay window? Are you kidding me? Moment of the game in this one, a 4-0 Brewers victory, game 2 of the 3-game set. It is the fourth inning. And now the first one you get, the Eric Thames, he's got 18 coming into this at-bat, but it's the second consecutive night that he does this.
And sends one to right, deep to the wall as Jones leaps and gone for Eric Thames. E.T. phoned home again tonight. And Milwaukee out in front, 1-0.
All the highlights on Fox Sports Wisconsin. We get one more. Are you kidding me? They go back-to-back. It's the young rookie, Trent Grisham.
And this one to right. Grisham. Gone! Greinke. Grisham hits his fourth. That snaps an 0 for 14 string for the rookie. And it's 2-0 Milwaukee.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, they go on for a 4-zip victory. And the Are You Kidding Me moments of the game brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. 414-799-1250. The Brewers do make some roster moves today. Want to get into that next with Yolish Chacin conversation. As... I don't like the move. I don't know about you guys. I know the numbers are pretty bad. They are. We'll give you an update on what his season ended up with. And if there indeed is an opening day jinx for the Brewers organization, we'll talk next year. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Brewers win 4-zip.
Pitching is nearly everything in baseball. But it doesn't always go as planned. Let's see who got lit up tonight. Sponsored by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com.
4-zip. Brewers get the victory. I don't know if you guys coming out of Miller Park go in with a radio at all, but I don't know if that's a thing these days. It used to be a lot bigger where you bring a radio to the ballpark, but... point I'm making is we're hearing some of the excitement now heating up, especially with Jeff Levering on the Brewers radio network. Dude's getting into it now. He's digging a pennant race. I am too. Hopefully you are as well. Brewers get the victory here. Their third consecutive win. They sit 3.5 back in the Central. The Cubs are the loss today. They drop to 1.5 back. And then there's the Cardinals. Yes, the Cardinals. I remember a couple of calls earlier this year that said, nah, don't worry about the Cardinals. It's Cubs-Brewers. It's Cubs-Brewers going to be a fight, a dog fight all the way down the stretch. No, that's not the case. You're the Cardinals sit. They're in first. Plucker, you got an update on our Twitter poll. Cubs, Cards, or Crew, who's winning the Central with 33 remaining?
Right now, we got 52% of our voters saying that the Cardinals are going to win, 26% saying it's going to be the Crew, and only 21% saying it's going to be the Cubs.
Wow, Cubs fall to third in that race right there. You can chime in as well, joining the conversation at 414-799-1250. The Brewers did make a difficult cut today, and that is Yolish Chacin. We have to keep in mind what Yolish Chacin did for this organization last year. Some really interesting things from David Stearns was said, and I fully agree with him on the one comment he's going to make here and expand on that a little bit. But first, want to get to what Craig Counsell said about the Yolish Chacin situation. He was designated for assignment, and that means another team can claim him. He's on their team, and or if he's not, then he can accept an assignment to AAA. And ain't no way he's going to do that. Being a veteran like him, I would be shocked if he ends up going to AAA for the Brewers. But nonetheless, did not have a good year. We can all agree on that. Is there, like the Madden curse, is there a Brewers opening day curse, opening day jinx? First, we have to check out the numbers for Yolish Chacin, this year's opening day starter, Jeff.
Yeah. 19 starts on the season. He's got a record of 3-10, a 5.79 ERA. Wow. Yolish allowed, he pitched a total of 88 and two-thirds innings. He allowed 19 homers, 99 hits, and he struck out 80 guys.
Yeah, just a rough, rough season for Yolish Chacin. And guys do have rough seasons. We get it. Here's what I would have done with Yolish Chacin. I would have, cut a deal, and I don't know what the date was they had to activate him by, but he would have been part of the roster expansion on the first. I would have given him, if need be, things go haywire with a 14 or 18 inning game, somebody gets hurt, I would have given him that emergency start sort of deal. That would be in reserve. he would have pitched out of the pen. And it's because of what he did last year. Could you imagine if the Cubs or the Cardinals claim him, get him back on track, and there's a tie in a game 163, and Yolis Chacin, who pitched 163 last year down in Wrigley, pitched against the crew in 163 this year? Whoa. I mean, that would be wild. Odds of that happening are almost slim, but not none. So you have Craig Counsell, when asked prior to the game today, what really happened with Yolis Chacin?
Craig, do you think it's important to get an answer for what happened for Yolis, or is that an unanswerable question?
No, I don't. No, we just, no. I don't understand.
Well, like, he went from being your most reliable guy to just being, you know, not good enough to pitch for you in September. And I'm wondering if as an organization, you need to figure that out to avoid it in the future, if that is, to the extent that's even possible.
Yeah, we just didn't get the results we wanted. We didn't get the results we wanted. During various points of the season, I thought, I think probably Yolis probably pitched as well as he's ever pitched last year, especially the second half of last year. In spring training, I didn't think much has changed. During the season, we struggled with the slider for a bit of time, and then we struggled with the fastball command for a bit of time. The reason why we're here is we didn't come up with any answers, unfortunately.
I thought it was a fair question from our insider, Adam McAlvey. In a roundabout way, he finally got around to answering a good question. That's Craig Counsell right there. If they had the answers, they would have fixed it. There really sometimes is not an answer to a guy that's struggling. He was struggling with his slider. That was a wipeout pitch last year. It was. And also, you know, to further the damage for Yolis Chacin, he couldn't spot his fastball. I mean, spotting his fastball is paramount for his success. Just didn't happen this year, for whatever reasons. Okay, then you get to the opening day jinx. Now, I'm a little torn here, Pipe Bomb, because should I play the David Stearns comment on the jinx, or should I first set it up going back years to let our listeners know, to capsulize, what has happened to every opening day starter in the last 5 years?
Yeah, I think you got to set it up first, Timmy.
Okay. Here's the deal. You tell me if there's an opening day jinx, and David Stearns, the president and GM of this organization, will answer it as well. Opening day jinx, 2018. First 2019, we just went over it. DFA'd your opening day starter this year, 5.7 ERA. Okay? We go back to 2018. That's Chase Anderson. He ends up in the season going 9-8, right around a 4 ERA, gave up the most home runs in the National League. He was taken out of the rotation late in the year, never made the playoff roster in either series. No, now we're 2-for-2 going backwards in time. 2017, Junior Guerra, opening day, strained calf muscle while bunting, only lasted 3 innings, gone for 2 months, ultimately ended up going 1-4 for the season with a 5.12 earned run average. And that included a demotion to the minor leagues. Now we go back to 2016, we're 3-for-3, 19, 18, 17, 16. Willie Peralta, he got lit up on opening day, ended up with 13 starts. He was demoted to AAA, ended up 7-11 with a 4.8 ERA. We go back to 2015. Now we're 4-for-4. Let's see if we can go 5-for-5 opening day. Kyle Loesch, opening day, allows 10 hits and 8 earnings. Later on that year, after 22 starts, removed from the rotation, he ended up going 5-13 with a 5.8 ERA. You guys tell me 19, 18, 17, 16, and 15. Every single one of the opening day starters for this organization has been bad that year. That's weird. I mean, baseball is a superstitious thing. But I'm thinking, you know, like a Mike Zagurski should start next year's opening day. Just you talk about going with an opener. Let's do that. How do you explain that? I mean, it's come full circle here in 19. Kyle Loesch, Willie Peralta, Junior Guerra, Chase Anderson. Wow. Yoely Chacin. I mean, all of these guys, every one of them, opening day starters. That's tough. Well, let's get to David Stearns, who was asked about his comments, asked the question about, well, is there an opening day hex or jinx?
This is stupid because I know that curses aren't real, but, like, do you have to think? I mean,
I was waiting for this question.
Yeah, what do you think about? I mean, what do you think about it next year? Like, well, I know it's not real, but
it's a great storyline, and look, obviously everyone's talking about it, right? And I don't know what happened before I was here, but since I've been here, our the guy who we've given the ball to on day one of the season. Hasn't pitched particularly well for the remainder of that season. I certainly can't explain it. It's really strange. It's an interesting conversation, and there's likely absolutely nothing behind it.
Well, likely absolutely nothing behind it. No, I would agree with that. Pipe Bomb, I'll ask you. Is there something to this?
Absolutely. You know, 1 year is an aberration, you know, 2 years is, you know, coincidence. Three, you can call that a trend. Five?
It's 5 years in a row.
That is a full-blown curse.
I mean, again, likely there's no explanation for it. I'm a little bit of a superstitious guy. I mean, most baseball fans are, a lot of baseball players, ton of baseball players, ton of coaches and managers and just baseball industry guys have believed in some sort of superstitious stuff going on in baseball. Don't step on the white lines. There's just a ton of them. But again, let me just the inventory. Chase Anderson. Last year, now Yoely Chacin just DFA'd, gone from the organization this year. Chase Anderson last year, just a ton of home runs, home run derby, taken out of the rotation, never made the playoff roster in either series. Go back the prior year, Junior Guerra got hurt on opening day. Completely a disastrous 2017. 2 months out on the IL. And ultimately gets a demotion down to AAA, a 5-plus ERA. That's your opening day starter. Back to 2016, Willie Peralta lit up opening day, 13 starts. He was sent to AAA. Ended up 7-11 with a 4.8 ERA. You remember that the new experiment when he came back was putting him into the bullpen and his stuff would play right. Ultimately, within a couple of years, it did play right. Only it was playing right in Kansas City out of the pen. And then back to 2015, Kyle Loesch. He got rocked on opening day. Later on that year, 22 starts, out of the rotation. Ended up going 5-13 with a 5.8 ERA, just short of 6 on the ERA. That's five consecutive years. Just play it one more time before the break here. This Adam McKelvey asking David Stearns if there is an opening day curse.
This is stupid because I know that curses aren't real, but, like, do you have to think? I mean,
I was waiting for this question.
Yeah, what do you think about? I mean, what do you think about it next year? Like, I know it's not real, but
it's a great storyline, and look, obviously everyone's talking about it, right? And I don't know what happened before I was here, but since I've been here, our the guy who we've given the ball to on day one of the season. Hasn't pitched particularly well for the remainder of that season. I certainly can't explain it. It's really strange. it's an interesting conversation, and there's likely absolutely nothing behind it.
I love it. I do. And by the way, David Stearns, you know exactly what happened before you were here. You know. There's a lot of numbers, and it's crazy how there's websites and things and that compile a lot of data, including your own organization that compiles data. You know what happened to Willie Peralta on opening day. Not that you're spending a lot of time on it. I find it quite fascinating.
You're going to tell me an analytical mind like David Stearns doesn't know the past of the franchise that he's working for?
Well, in the recent past, yeah.
Exactly. Come on.
Yeah, he knows, but I just think it's funny. I'm not saying either way. I'm not going either direction, is or isn't. But we all start with what we do know, and what we do know is that the opening day starter since 2015, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19 has been just that season. Now, Chase has recovered quite well from last year. But it took him a year to recover. So in that season is what I'm saying, is that it has been disastrous for the opening day starter in the Brewers organization for five consecutive years. How about we get one and have a guy that starts opening day for like five straight years. Might be Brandon Woodruff.
Could be. That's the goal.
Yeah. Let me squeeze in Jim here before the break, and we're going to hear from Craig Counsell in just a second. Brewers do get the victory 4-0 final. We're talking about that opening day jinx. But who is going to win the Central? We threw that out there on Twitter. And it's Cubs, Cards, and Crew. Those are your choices, because I don't think there's anything after that to win the Central this year. Jim in Chicago, you're on the Fan.
Oh, man. You know, obviously I'm pulling for the Crew because I'm tired of hearing about the Cubs having to live down here. Last week or so was kind of gut-wrenching with the run that we had out on the road. You know what? It's up for grabs, man. I mean, here's the thing. We do have a worse record this year right now than we did last year. But we're actually closer in the standings than we were last year at this time. So, I don't know. It's up for grabs. And I think if we can get some of these late games, you know, we got the Lyle pickup pitching-wise. That's got to help. I just heard you guys talking about Jimmy Nelson a little bit. And who knows, maybe Jimmy can come in and help right the ship. But I think it's going to be some sort of a surprise that we're not even talking about right now that'll help push us over the top.
Yeah, I find it. I can't wait. Jim, thanks for the call. It is up for grabs, and that's the whole point. It's tough. Yeah, it's easy to point to the team in first place right now, and that's the St. Louis Cardinals. And in a way, you could justify that by saying they've played a little more consistent baseball. Brewers and Cubs, it just seems to me, have been a little bit of a roller coaster here. And so the Cardinals just kind of steady Freddy, just kind of trolling, just there. They'll step up and get you for a series. But they won't go into this prolonged losing skid, if you will. They got off to a little bit of a bumpy start, but after that, they've been fairly steady. All right, coming out of Miller Park, you quite often hear me talk about tour guide Tony. He's a dude that likes to go on tours when he vacations and all the little nooks and crannies and see the largest ball of yarn in the world. I don't know. He'd pay money to see admission to that. But he's with Alyssa and Emma, and they were on Scooby-Doo night. And for the effort tonight, Tony, I commend you for dressing like Shaggy tonight.
Good work, Tony.
Attaboy, Tony. Taking Alyssa and Emma out on the town dressed like Shaggy. Atta baby. Brewers get a win tonight. 4-0 final. They take the first two games of this three-game weekend set over the Diamondbacks. We'll hear from Craig Counsell next on The Fan.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper, brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 15 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the only station Brewers fans need before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Huge win for the Crew tonight. They shut out the Diamondbacks game two of this three-game weekend set. And don't look now. The pitching staff is starting to step back up here. At least in this series, they've given up a grand total of one run. And that Diamondback team, they're fighters. They are battlers. I really like that 1-2 punch of Escobar and Ketel Marte. They're pretty good baseball players, and they've got a bright future as a 1-2 punch in Arizona. But they're trying to hang on in the fringe of the wild card race. And really, I shouldn't say fringe. I think that's a little bit too harsh. I mean, they have a chance to get hot, and if the other teams let up a little bit, I guess they could do some damage. But Brewers really putting a damper on their getting hot by winning the first couple of games of this series. Don't underestimate this win, because they're all big wins. It doesn't have to be against the Cardinals or the Cubs. Every single one. The rough part of this, guys, is you've won three in a row, and you've picked up a half game in the standings. I mean, that part of it is really tough, because you know you're not going to win every game. And the second you let up for one day, if that other guy wins, you drop to 4.5 games. That's the tough part. Would be nice to just get underneath three games back. That, to me, would make me feel a little more comfortable with 33 to play, Brewers 3.5 back, 5 over .500, 12 over .500 at home. That's a good sign, as they have the Cardinals coming in on Monday, but they do need to finish off the Diamondbacks. It would be great to sweep them with a win tomorrow. But tonight's win, we'll celebrate that. A 4-0 shutout victory. Chase Anderson big. Couple of solo home runs. Thames and Trent Grisham go back-to-back. Keston Hira with some insurance in the bottom of the seventh inning with a two-run base hit. And here's Craig Counsell after the victory.
That's kind of what he's been doing for the last bunch of weeks, that one game aside, right? I mean, he's pretty steady for you.
Yeah, he's in game. He's been very steady. He's been very, very consistent. A version of that start has happened a whole bunch over the last 2 months. A little blip, but I think that's 10 out of 11 pretty good ones. That's darn good.
You had Hader up again, but to be able to give him another night, is that another plus?
Yeah, the thinking was that because we had him up in the seventh and the eighth, I thought we gave him a little bit of work there, and Jay was just, we had him available for the ninth if anything started going, but Jay did a nice job, great job in the ninth. So, I thought we got him a bunch of work, but then putting him in the game, I thought was pretty taxing day. So if we could avoid that, obviously available tomorrow.
What have you thought of Jackson? He's pitched pretty well for you lately, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's definitely been more comfortable, I think, as we've got him here. And his stuff's playing. I mean, you can, by the strikeouts are telling you that for sure. So he's been a nice find for us. I think getting him and Devin Williams going a little bit here is a real key for us as we move forward with our bullpen. I mean, some of the other guys that, the Albers and the Claudio and the Guerra are kind of, I feel like we got good roles for them, but we need more guys. And I feel like Devin and Jay are really close to kind of emerging here.
Offensively, Lorenzo kind of looked like Lorenzo last year on base all five times, getting walks, just getting on base every time.
Yeah, it was a great night at the top for him. His on-base stuff was awesome. And then I thought we had some really good at-bats. Moose had a great at-bat against Chafin. That was the at-bat of the game, I thought, just to get that walk. Even Trent Grisham, he ended up striking out, but has a great at-bat against him. So we had really good at-bats tonight. I don't know how many walks did we end up with, six. It felt like pressure, and that's a good thing.
Where did things go right? Or, not so much. Where did this game turn? Time for today's Turning Point of the Game. Sponsored by Great Lakes Dragaway. Check out all the events and track rental info at greatlakesdragaway.com. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
I think you had a couple of turning points in this Brewers 4-0 win, and one would be right away in that first inning. You notice the difference when when the Brewers and for that matter, it's all the teams. But what a difference it is when you play with the lead. And that turning point with a couple of runners aboard for Chase Anderson, Chase has been known to scuffle just a little bit in that first inning. That's why he doesn't get typically more than about five innings of work each start. Pitch count just a little high in that first inning. Couple of runners aboard, one swing of the bat, and the Brewers trail, and you know, you're chasing from there, and you handle your pitching staff a little bit different. Didn't happen. That's one of the turning points with Great Lakes Dragway. Obviously, in the bottom of the fourth inning, you have the back-to-back home runs. Eric Thames, consecutive nights with a home run. He's got 19 on the season now. And Trent Grisham, who had been struggling just a little bit, goes back-to-back with E.T. with a solo shot as well. That's another turning point. You also have the turning point in the seventh inning. A two-zip game is going to feature Josh Hader. And I'm not saying that I was nervous about that necessarily, but the two-run base hit by Keston Hiura, I think, gave you a little wiggle room to have some debate whether you want to just, quote, get Josh some work or go in high leverage with not pitching him for a week. At some point, however, you're going to have to pitch Josh Hader soon. And it might be tomorrow if the Brewers are running away with a 7-1 victory. You might be forced to use him because you can't. How much longer does it go then? He pitched a week ago. This is going to be over a week now since Josh Hader has pitched. I'm not saying he's hurt. I don't know if anyone's asked. I just think it's a breather. It's a breather, and they're getting away with it, at least in the last three games. They're 3-0 with a three-game winning streak, but another turning point is the Keston Hiura two-run base hit in the seventh inning. He had three of them with Great Lakes Dragway. And you heard Craig Counsell talk about his bullpen, and he's right. I think the roles clearly here with 33 remaining for Alex Claudio, Junior Guerra, and Matt Albers are pretty spelled out. They're going to be your high-leverage guys. Jeremy Jeffress taking a little bit of a back seat. We knew that it was one Joaquin Soria short for the bulk of the season. A guy like that, putting up decent numbers. We thought for a while it was going to be Adrian Hauser. He's adjusted well over to the starting rotation. So who is it then? Does he get up here on September 1st, roster expansions? Or is it Jay Jackson? Jay Jackson, a guy they signed in the offseason. He's 31 years old. Sort of a journeyman guy. But he's finding his own here, and you heard Craig Counsell just talk about the accolades for Jay Jackson. Is he that Joaquin Soria dude down the stretch here? He pitched in Japan the last 3 years. He was in the Padres organization, and he was an original draft choice of the Chicago Cubs in 2008. So a guy that's been around seems to be fitting well. Mid-90s? Well, maybe he's the new JJ. Only his name is not Jeremy Jeffress, Jay Jackson. We're going to hear from Eric Thames coming up after the break. I think we'll get some comments from Chase Anderson as well. They're getting a big Brewers victory tonight. That's what they did. 4-0 over the Diamondbacks. This hour on The Fan is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashion since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. Tim Allen and Eric Thames, Chase Anderson next here on The Fan.
Which player is ready for the bigs? What will the next series bring for the crew? Time for some forward thinking. Sponsored by Forward Financial Partners. Moving forward together. Find your way forward at FFPWI.com.
All right, welcome back. Brewers get game two in the bank here, drawing some interest, as somebody says, in this market. Ted Davis, it was a 4-0 victory, and they go after the sweep tomorrow. Zach Davies is on the hill for the crew, and let's see if they can make it a clean sweep of the Diamondbacks. It'd be nice to have Zach Davies just throw a gem tomorrow. Huge. Robbie Ray gets the ball for the Diamondbacks, and that game at 110 First Pitch. We'll have the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on deck show prior to the game. And don't forget, tomorrow morning we're going to be talking fantasy football. First edition of Fantasy Football Weekly, myself and Baby Taos, Tim and Taos takeover for Sunday morning. So we'll be discussing Andrew Luck. Those of you at the game weren't too busy in your phones. You heard that Andrew Luck is going to retire. Is that right, Pipe Bomb?
Yeah, he's retiring. Ripe old age, 27 or 29. And he's done, going to walk away from about $58 million, if the reports are right.
Wow.
The craziest thing about it, too, is the Colts had a preseason game today, and he was on the sideline while the news broke, and he exited the field to booze at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Wow. Stick around. The fan will have a ton of conversation about that situation. Can't wait to hear the Wendy's Big Show, Bill Michaels, and Chuck and Winkler on Monday morning talk about that situation. A lot of dynamic in that. And
you can't blame the fans for booing him, though. If I was a season ticket holder for the Colts, I would be absolutely furious.
Well, it depends. I'm thinking, guys, honestly, I think there's a lot we don't know about it. I don't know if we have all the details on this, if at all we'll get all the details. That would be my guess, is that there's something more here. And if not, then, wow, if I'm the GM, I'm like, whoa, wait a second, you leave us at the altar here? We had high hopes this year. We had high hopes to knock off a team or two and maybe pull an upset and get into the Super Bowl. Boy, that's the way it is, though, man. To each their own, and more details to come, obviously, as we move forward with that conversation about NFL football. We'll get a little bit more tomorrow morning, as I said, with Fantasy Football Weekly. Meantime, Eric Thames putting together a nice year. The Metal Man, as Pipe Bomb calls him, E.T., is phoning home at a regular rate. He hits home run number 19 tonight, trying to spark this team to get on a run. And here's what he had to say after the ball game.
You guys have been, the starting pitchers have been really doing it for us.
Yeah, I mean, it helps our bullpen immensely. I mean, you know, my guy throws 3 or 4 innings, and the bullpen has to cover for that every night. It wears on guys, especially now. It's getting hot. Well, not here. It's cold here, but you know, on the last road trip, it was getting really hot, and guys were, you know, wearing down a little bit. But for Chase to go out there and compete, you know, he got a couple of jams that he worked out of, and it was a really good outing.
Do you feel like you're in a good place right now, swinging?
I feel like I'm just, you know, grinding out the jungle. I mean, it's tough. I mean, you know, the barrel feels a little bit slower than it did in April and May. That's the name of the game. You know, you just have to go out there and grind and get a good pitch. And, you know, I'm just happy I'm able to get some timely hits. I'm not getting 2-3 hits a night, but the hits I've been getting so far have been, you know, in situations where kind of the team got fired up and Grish came right back after me and hit one too. So, yeah, it was pretty awesome.
The role has increased for you. Obviously, things changed when Aggie left. How much does that help, just being in there more regularly and getting more regular at-bats? It has to help you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's tough, you know, playing in the big leagues. We're not playing every day, and you have to face guys, and they nibble, and they throw, you know, their best secondary at you on top of, like, their 96, 97. It's tough, but you got to grind it out. And yeah, like, the timing is I can't use that excuse anymore. It's just kind of, all right, like, I know what to expect. Now it's a matter of just grinding it out. I mean, we have, I don't know how many games left, but now everything counts, so just got to go out there and grind.
I was going to say, I think after tomorrow, it's exactly 5 weeks.
Oof, it's crazy. So, yeah, like now it's the point where like everybody's going to be playing every game. Like, you know, it's like the best players are going to be playing. So going for that NL Central and the wild card.
Yeah, there he is, Eric Thames, after the Brewers' victory 4-0. He hits number 19. Second consecutive game with a home run for the Brewers' first baseman. And Chase Anderson, a nice performance tonight. He goes 5 innings of shutout baseball on 3 hits, couple of walks, 5 strikeouts. He's been really good this year. And one blow-up start, You give up 9 or 10 earnings, boy, that does some damage on your ERA. And you have to. This is one of those cases where someone around the nation is going to say, Chase Anderson, well, a 4.25 ERAs, that's not great. It's not. But you have to look at the totality of what Chase has done this year. He's having a dynamite year, a very steady and consistent year. Yeah, he did blow up last start, but he gets it done tonight. Here's Chase after the win.
Flush it as soon as possible. Really surprised I gave that many runs up in that little of time. So, I hope that never happens again in my career. So to get past that and come today and give our team a chance to win, you know, not give any runs up, that's a nice little bounce back for me and to get another win in the series for the team. So it was great.
What did you do after that? Did you go look at it at all, or just
forget? I didn't watch one pitch. I went to kind of back to my mechanics a little bit. I changed a little bit of that up, and a little tweak I made for this outing during my bullpen, and it paid off today. I'm going to continue to work on that and hone that in. So it's just helped me get a better base in my back leg to be more directional to the plate and be more consistent with my release point. So it worked out, and I continue to do it.
Much of a battle with Escobar at bat, 11 pitches to get out of the inning.
That guy's good. You know, he's really good. And then I kept going heater up, change up down. Like, man, at least miss one of them, please. But he got battles, and I threw a cutter. I don't know if he was expecting. He swung right. I watched the video in the slow-mo. He was on time, and just the cutting, the movement had it, missed the barrel. So thankful it ended, and, you know, I won that battle. But it was a good one for sure.
Bullpen finished it up. It's first shutout in 3.5 months, roughly. Does that surprise you?
It is. I mean, I wouldn't know that stat. I know you guys know that stuff, but I mean, shoot. Back in the minor leagues, when we'd give up no runs, we'd get pitchers BP the next day on the field. So I don't know if that's the case here, but it's always good to shut a team out and, you know, obviously to get a win. But the bullpen's, you know, if we can do our job as a starting staff and pitch five, six, seven innings, and give those guys a chance to line up better, they'll be more fresh down the stretch for us, and they're going to, you know, obviously perform at a better level, too.
How much of an opportunity do you guys see on this homestand just to get, you know, some important wins and get some, you know, consistency together?
Yeah, for sure. I know we play the Cardinals next, and, you know, we go to Wrigley after that. So to win these first three games would be awesome, and going to the Cardinals series and win that series here at home. I think the goal is to continue just to play each day, but, you know, looking ahead is you want to win each series. It puts you in a really good spot towards the end of the season. So we play our division a lot going down the stretch in September. So I think for us to continue to do what we're doing, and, you know, the starting pitching has done really well the last, you know, week and a half, besides my little hiccup in D.C. So continue that. I mean, when you set the tone as a starter and you do your job, I mean, the team feeds off that, and you just see the guys, like, you know, it was a battle for the first 5 innings. There was no runs scored, and then, shoot, we kind of get over the hump and score a couple runs with the back-to-back homers. And, you know, you just feel the momentum shift to our team. So if you can keep those guys off the board and, you know, give our team a chance to swing the bats and score some runs, we're going to do it, and we're gonna play deep into October.
Yeah, there's Chase Anderson. I like that. Deep into October, they've got a shot at it. They win game two of this three-game weekend set. This half hour on the Fan is brought to you by Laborers Local 113, Laborers International Union Local 113. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org. And Brewers go back at it. They go after the sweep tomorrow. Robbie Ray and Zach Davies and the correction of the game with Milwaukee County House of Correction in a Brewers 4-0 victory. I wouldn't have DFA'd Yoli Chacin, but that's me. I know the numbers are pretty rough for Yolis, but what he did last year for this organization, David Stearns was quoted prior to the game as saying he's pitched in some of the biggest games in franchise history. To me, that deserves one more shot at it to see if he could get hot down the stretch here, but so be it. You move forward, and you go after the sweep. Bella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on deck show prior to the ball game at noon, and after the last pitch, meet you right here. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Thanks to our crew at Miller Park. For the birthday boy, Dan Plucker, good job today, Dan, and we'll see you tomorrow morning for Fantasy Football Weekly. For the Polish Pipe Bomb, my name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great night. And remember, until tomorrow, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.